Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
Oh, as a kid, who didn't? Well, some people probably didn't, but as, you know, the dream of going on a research vessel and finding mysterious creatures from the deep. But Peter McMillan gets to live that dream from Niwa. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Oh, God, you've got the dream job, don't you?
Yes, it was a great trip.
So you've been out, how long were you out on the Niwa boat? Is it the RV Tangaroa, is that
yes,
right?
Yeah, that's our big research boat, well, Niwa's big research boat.
Right, and so you trawl the depths.
We did on this occasion. We don't normally do this sort of work. It's we actually only spent a couple of days doing this particular bit of research. It was only 11 tows, 11 trawl stations.
Right. Yeah. Whereabouts? It's on the the Chatham Plate?
The Chatham Rise.
Chatham Rise.
The big area of land between or submarine land between Banks Peninsula and the Chatham Islands. So there's a big rise there.
Okay, and quite deep.
Yes, it slopes off on each side, on the north side and the south side. But up on the top, it can be quite shallow, 100 metres in places.
And tell me, how do you do the trawl exactly? You sort of alluded to it, what you did, like 11 passes. Is it just some big scraper that you run along the bottom?
Basically, yes. It's a big big trawl. It scrapes the bottom of the ocean. Yes, you have to have a lot of wire to get down to 1.5 kilometres below the surface of the sea. So it takes a wee while. It takes about 3 hours to do one station.
Right. And it doesn't sound wildly eco-friendly. I guess that's why you only do a few passes.
Yes, well, we only actually scrape a quite small section of the seafloor. The thing's about 30 metres wide. And that's actually only a tiny bit of the total area of the Chatham Rise. So
I guess as distasteful as it is, Peter, it's a bit like a smear test where it's for the greater good. You know what I mean?
Yes,
it's a test test of the ocean.
Exactly. Unless we do it, we don't actually know what's there.
That's right.
But we're only sampling. We're not covering the whole area.
So what sorts of stuff have you been dredging up? So you scrape the bottom and then you haul it up and everyone sort of hovers around to see what's in the chute.
Yes, exactly. You know, we brought up some quite remarkable things from the tows between 1,500 metres and 1,800 metres. Stuff that I hadn't... I've worked in this area for 30 years and I hadn't seen some of these things.
That must be weird when you get something up and you're trying to identify it.
Yes, it was quite hard work.
So
fun.
You've got a passion for... Is it the grenadier? Is that
Grenadiers,
right?
I'm a kind of specialist on those things. I've been working on those for about 30 years.
What are they?
They're a group of deep-sea fishes related to cods. They're cod-like things, but there are quite a lot of them in New Zealand. There are over 60 species of those in New Zealand, and they occur right from quite shallow water, about 100 metres, down to thousands of metres.
Right.
And we're at the thousands of metres end of things. We really don't know what we've got in
what the heck's going on.
Yes.
And so this is an unnamed one.
We caught a couple of unnamed ones and a couple of that were really rare. One that I described before from four specimens and we caught about 10 more of these things. So that was quite exciting.
And so you get out the Grenadier poster and you're matching them up?
Yes.
Or not?
Yeah.
Now, was there an eel with an expandable stomach that you found?
The basket work eel, it's actually quite abundant in the deep water. It was one of the most abundant species, along with these other things called slick heads. But yes, I think we think that because food's quite scarce down there, they're able to take quite big meals. So I guess they have quite large but infrequent meals.
They're like an inverted pelican, aren't they? They can...
Yes.
They sort of eat it. They can eat giant things and their stomach just
expands.
Yes,
there are a number of deep sea fishes that can do that. I think it's related to the fact that food's scarce there and that they have to grab what they can when they can.
What's the most interesting thing that you found down there? Because they have to create their own light, don't they?
Some of them are able to produce light, and we're not sure exactly what the function of that is, but... lots of the things that they prey on actually have light as well, produce light as well. So we presume that some of them are able to locate their prey because of the fact that prey has a light organ. But yes, some of them do it by having a little bacterial pouch in their belly, and some of them actually do it, produce light using chemical means and have specialised organs on their body.
They're ugly fish.
Some of them are ugly, but yeah, I don't think they're ugly.
No, but I mean, it's not a beauty contest down there, is it?
No, it's a functional contest, I think. You've got to be adapted to living under great pressure.
Makes you wonder what they...
In the dark and very cold, too.
Makes you wonder what they look for in a mate.
Yes, well, yeah, that some of them have got quite bizarre adaptations to finding mates. Some of the deep sea anglerfishes actually have to have a tiny parasitic male which attaches to them, because I guess they're so rare that once the male finds the female, it actually latches on.
All right, never lets go. Some of us are still doing that. Do you get to name any of the new ones?
Yes, I hope to. Some of the grenadiers, which is my group.
Are you going to get creative with it?
Creative with the name?
Yeah.
Yes, I have to get creative. I have to dream up a name that's descriptive of the beast, usually. But, you can call things after people. That is dumb.
Because I could have imagined if people are sponsoring NIWA's research that there could be some pressure for naming rights.
Well, yeah, I'm a scientist, so, you know, I...
Not
I
your problem.
Not my problem.
Okay. The telecom grenadier has a ring to it? No. Now, do you think that there's anything really big and scary down there that we haven't found yet? Because you know how the things we tend to dredge up aren't huge?
Right.
As opposed to our childhood books we used to read, which was down the deeper you got, the scarier and bigger they got.
Well, some of the things are quite big. There's a thing called a sleeper shark, which does get quite big. It gets metres long and weighs, I think, over a tonne.
Right.
And it goes around munching on dead whales and other things. So, I mean, they're actually known because they've caught those on lines. But yes, as you say, most of the things are relatively small.
Do you think there's anything crazy down there that we haven't found yet?
Well, there's lots of things we haven't found because we've only really scratched the surface of depths greater than 1,500 metres around New Zealand. Many people don't know that about half of New Zealand's EEZ is deeper than 1,500 metres. So
right.
We just really haven't sampled those depths. So.
And so that's the hope, is it, to go deeper and deeper and get more wire?
Yes. The logistics of doing it is quite difficult and expensive. But, you know, we really should know what we've got in our own economic zone.
Yeah, it'd be good to know, wouldn't it? Mm. Hopefully they can't fish it, though.
Well, yes.
Yeah, that's always the danger when you find a tasty new fish.
There. Yeah.
Hey, Peter, nice talking.
Thanks very much.
And good luck with the renaming of new fish.
Thank you.
Okay, catch ya. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
That is Peter McMillan from NIWA about his deep sea adventures trawling the Chatham Rise on NIWA's research vessel, the Tangaroa.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.